Tonight, breaking news on Pope Francis in the hospital, what they're saying about his condition. Also tonight, what authorities now believe about the shooter at that school in Nashville. Tonight, authorities revealing police who stormed the school took down that shooter within minutes. But what they witnessed at that school involving the suspect and what they believe it reveals about the shooter. Also tonight, investigators have now questioned the shooter's parents. Moments ago, the first lady in Nashville to honor the victims, Alex Perez, on the scene. Also developing at this hour, Pope Francis hospitalized in Rome, what they're now saying about what he's fighting, and James Longman with late reporting. Here at home tonight, authorities very concerned about this new storm system that could bring tornadoes and dangerous winds to the same part of the country hit with those deadly tornadoes just days ago. Rob Marciano timing it out. We also make it to a town 100 miles from Rolling Fork, also hit in Mississippi. They're now bracing for another dangerous system coming through. Overseas and news on Russia tonight, the Kremlin now suspending all notifications, communications with the U.S. on nuclear weapons. Communications required under the new START treaty. Tonight, the White House now responding to all of this, and Martha Raddatz standing by. In the U.S., the veteran pilot in another plane helping a student pilot make an emergency landing. You will hear the communications back and forth, what he learns about that young pilot as she tries to land the plane. News tonight involving the case against Alec Baldwin, the surprising move from the Santa Fe DA who charged him. Tonight, dozens of swimmers are now facing possible federal charges for allegedly harassing the dolphins. And the Diane Sawyer exclusive, the first interview with actor Jeremy Renner, the superhero action star run over in that snow plowing accident. Jeremy Renner in his wheelchair talking to Diane after breaking more than 30 bones, the long recovery ahead, who he was trying to help that day, why he says he would do it all over again.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a very busy Wednesday night. There is breaking news on the Pope hospitalized tonight. We have news on his condition here in just a moment. But there are also new developments tonight involving the shooter at that Nashville school. Tonight, why authorities believe the suspect had training, and new details on some of the children outside for recess and their own escape. And this evening, how quickly those hero officers ended the threat. Authorities pointing out the brave children, this surveillance of suspect Audrey Hale driving into the school parking lot. Children on the playground there and on the swings. Authorities now believe those children being outside likely helped them get away faster. Amid the shooting unfolding, they ran, some running into the woods. Police tonight on why they believe the assailant may have had some weapons training. As we also learn, it was just 2 minutes after entering that school, they shot the suspect. And tonight, that community and the nation remembering the victims, the 9-year-olds William Kinney, Evelyn Dickhouse, and Hallie Scruggs, as well as custodian Mike Hill, substitute teacher Cynthia Peake, and school principal Catherine Kuntz. Kuntz's family tonight saying she gave her life to protect the students she loved. And just before we came on the air tonight, First Lady Jill Biden joining the mourners right there in Nashville. ABC's Alex Perez leading us off from Nashville again tonight.
Let's go!
Tonight, ABC News learning that dramatic police takedown of the Covenant School shooter taking just minutes. That first call coming in at 10:13 a.m. The first officers arriving at 10:21, 8 minutes later. Going in at 10:23 a.m.
Metro Police!
Carefully going room to room. Encountering the heavily armed suspect, a 28-year-old Audrey Hale, firing on the second floor. 10:25 a.m., the officers engage. By 10:27, 4 minutes after officers entered the school, Hale is declared dead. Authorities now in the deep phases of the investigation into what motivated the former student to target Covenant School, killing 6 people, including 3 9-year-old children.
As of right now, we don't have any indication there was any problems at the school or at home.
Police say Hale's parents were shocked to learn there was a lethal arsenal of 7 guns hidden in their house, including the 3 used in Monday's massacre, telling investigators Hale was under a doctor's care for an emotional disorder. Authorities say they were not aware of Hale's condition before the shooting, noting Hale had no previous criminal record. But based on Hale's ability to evade fire from this second floor window and hit these police cruisers, authorities say they believe Hale knew how to use those weapons.
We believe there's been some training of being able to shoot from a higher level.
Zooming in on this surveillance video released by police, you can see young students on the school's playground outside as Hale arrives. Playing outside may have helped those students get to safety faster, some running across the street into the nearby woods.
I was told there were kids that evacuated into a wood line and had the presence of mind to do that.
Katie Robbins, who lives nearby, ran outside when she heard the gunfire, encountering a teacher and terrified children running.
And this little boy looked up at me, and I will never forget the look in his eyes. He said, "Help me get inside here. How do I get inside here?"
And tonight, the frustrated mother who made news where the media was gathered at the school on Monday. Ashby Beasley and her son survived the recent mass shooting at that 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois, and they were on vacation in Nashville. Beasley today telling us she was so angry she'd had enough, so she took the microphone demanding, "Where is the action?"
Aren't you guys tired of covering this? Aren't you guys tired of being here and having to cover all of these mass shootings? I'm from Highland Park, Illinois. My son and I survived a mass shooting over the summer. I am in Tennessee on a family vacation with my son, visiting my sister-in-law. I have been lobbying in D.C. since we survived a mass shooting in July. We all have to make our lawmakers make change now, or this is going to keep happening, and it's going to be your kid and your kid and your kid and your kid next. Because it's just a matter of time.
And David, behind me here, you can see those flowers and balloons. The memorial for the victims here continues to grow. First Lady Jill Biden, just a short time ago, among those who stopped by here to pay their respects. This community, David, is coming together.
A familiar scene yet again. The First Lady visiting the scene of a tragedy here in this country. Alex Perez leading us off. Thank you. We're going to turn now in the meantime to this other breaking headline tonight involving Pope Francis in the hospital tonight with a lung infection. Here's our foreign correspondent James Longman with late reporting tonight.
Tonight, there are prayers around the world for Pope Francis, who's been hospitalized in Rome with a lung infection. The Vatican revealing the 86-year-old pontiff complained of respiratory difficulties in recent days and went in for tests. The infection will require several days of appropriate hospital medical treatment. As a young man, the Pope had part of a lung removed after a severe case of pneumonia.
The less normal lung tissue you have, the less pulmonary reserve you have. And so that may present a risk in terms of his available pulmonary resources to fight this particular infection.
Today's news comes just hours after the Pope's weekly audience, where he appeared energetic and engaging, touring St. Peter's Square in his Jeep, kissing babies and posing for photographs.
Since the Pope was out and about this morning, that would imply that he had an outpatient acquired pneumonia, which is not necessarily serious. However, he is the Pope, and you might want to have him observed in the hospital until things clear up completely.
But Francis has been facing some other health challenges in recent years. He's now relying on a cane and wheelchair to get around after a knee injury. And he's been dealing with the return of a colon condition after intestinal surgery back in 2021. Tonight, the faithful are praying for the Pope's recovery. "This Pope, really, I love him. I adore him," this woman says. "We want Pope Francis to get better." The Vatican says the Pope is touched by the many messages received and expresses his gratitude for the closeness and prayer.
David, it's not clear how long the Pope is going to be hospitalized, but the Catholic Church is heading into its busiest time of the year, Holy Week. There are all kinds of masses and celebrations to be presided over, and that starts with Palm Sunday this weekend. David?
A lot of prayers for the Pope tonight. James Longman in London. James, thank you. Back here in the U.S., and there is growing concern over this major new storm barreling across the country now. Of course, concern that it could bring tornadoes and dangerous winds to that same part of the country hit with deadly tornadoes just days ago. Let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano, who was in the storm zone. He's now tracking this storm for us. And Rob, a familiar path all over again.
Yeah, here we go again, David. I mean, this setup coming Friday is similar to last Friday's setup, and the storm coming into the west right now is also very similar. Cold core, strong dynamics that will have no problem going cross country. You see that swirl west of San Francisco? There it is. It's spiraling in. Thunderstorms, could see even some severe weather tonight across parts of California. Heavy snow on the mountains, 1 to 2 feet and through parts of Utah, across the Colorado Rockies. Wyoming gets some heavy snow as well. Thursday, there will be some severe weather, but the big threat's going to be Friday afternoon. As far north as Des Moines, Iowa, through St. Louis, Paducah, down through Memphis, and yes, into the hard-hit areas of northern Mississippi, damaging winds, large hail, and tornadoes possible come Friday night. David?
Just unbelievable what they could face again, Rob. Thank you. And there is a town even smaller than Rolling Fork, Mississippi, about 100 miles away, where so much was destroyed, where they're now bracing for this new system about to hit. ABC's Phil Lipoff tonight in the town of Vaden, Mississippi.
Tonight, 100 miles from Rolling Fork in Vaden, Mississippi, they are worried about new storms, but still can't forget the ones that just struck.
The lights went out, and all of a sudden, it's like you can hear it coming.
D'Angelo White can still hear the tornado coming.
My cousin, my wife, my two kids, and I, we all fell at the same time in her bedroom.
They survived, but three family members across the street did not.
My mom was over here somewhere in this area here. I walked right past her. But I guess it wasn't meant for me to find her like that, man.
D'Angelo's mom, Helen, his stepfather, Danny, and 14-year-old brother, Jadarian, were all killed. Jadarian's twin brother, Ladarian, survived. LaShonda Hemphill tells us her cousin, Helen, lit up a room.
I called her number last night and not realizing that I wasn't going to get anyone.
The family finding that phone in the wreckage. Helen's sister, Genova, showing me.
This was the cover?
Yes, that's her doll. We actually is looking for the doll.
Vaden is tiny. A little more than 300 people live here. 30 to 40 of them are related to Helen. They're all now rallying around D'Angelo and Ladarian.
I got my cousin, LaShonda and them, but she can't help the whole family, man, by herself, Genova, so we don't know. That's why I say I'm just walking on faith.
The funerals for Helen, Danny, and Jadarian are scheduled for Sunday, not far from here at a school Helen was a teacher at for 27 years. But with these new storms coming in, even that is an uncertainty in their lives tonight. And we've also learned that President Biden and the First Lady plan to visit storm-damaged areas here in Mississippi Friday. David?
All right. Phil Lipoff in Mississippi for us. Thank you, Phil. Overseas tonight into Russia and to an alarming new turn in U.S. relations with Moscow. Tonight, the Kremlin now suspending all notifications involving nuclear weapons. Communications required under the new START treaty. White House is responding. It won't communicate either then. So where does this leave us? Here's Martha Raddatz now.
Tonight, a troubling standoff. Russia now refusing to give advance warning to the U.S. about its missile tests or provide data about its nuclear arsenal as required by the START nuclear arms agreement. A move that has now prompted the White House to do the same.
Since they have refused to be in compliance with that particular modality of New START, we have decided to likewise not share that data.
The new START agreement signed in 2010 limits each country to 1,550 deployed nuclear warheads with inspections to verify compliance. But last month, Vladimir Putin called off inspections because of U.S. support for the war in Ukraine. Now they have taken it even further, calling off all notifications of missile tests.
This all comes as Russia begins military drills and Putin's announcement that he will deploy tactical nuclear weapons to Ukraine's neighbor Belarus. But the Pentagon believes this is just saber rattling, although failing to share data about missile tests under the START agreement means there's always a greater possibility for miscalculations. David?
Yeah, very unsettling. Martha Raddatz tonight. Thank you, Martha. Now to the veteran pilot coming to the rescue of a young pilot on her third solo flight. Pilot Chris Yates on the ground waiting to take off when he saw part of that young pilot's landing gear fall off. What he learned about her as he helped her land that plane. Here's Gio Benitez tonight.
Tonight, a rookie pilot making this incredible emergency landing that may not have been so smooth if it wasn't for another hero pilot.
Hey, that diamond star that just took off lost its nose wheel tire on the runway.
Wow, thank you. Okay, yes, you did.
21-year-old Taylor Hash taking off from Pontiac, Michigan Friday, suddenly receiving terrifying news. Her front landing gear had fallen off, and it was only her third solo flight ever.
Something is wrong with my plane now, and I have to, you know, kind of figure out what I'm going to do.
That's when veteran pilot Chris Yates, who was about to take off himself, saw Taylor's plane's wheel bounce down the runway. And he jumped on the radio to help. Is that nervous pilot shared the same name as his daughter.
What's your name, kiddo?
My name's Taylor.
And Taylor, this is Chris. My daughter's name is Taylor, and I taught her to fly. We're going to be just fine, kiddo.
Thank you very much.
I was definitely terrified. That calming voice was pretty much exactly what I needed.
Wanted to get this kid back home, and I knew how to help her do it.
And then that moment, Yates with nerves of steel guiding Taylor to a safe landing.
There you go, kiddo. Nice. There, sit back gently. Nice job. Here she comes. The nose is going to come down. You're okay. You're okay. Talk to me, kid.
Good. I'm all good.
That a girl. I'm proud of you.
It could have been a lot worse. You know, I was really hoping that airplane didn't end up on its back upside down, and it didn't.
And David, tonight Taylor says she will keep training to someday fly corporate jets just like Chris. David.
Gio Benitez tonight. Incredible story. Thank you, Gio. On Capitol Hill today, the former CEO of Starbucks defending the company from allegations of union busting, Howard Schultz, appearing before a Senate committee today, clashing with Chairman Bernie Sanders.
Past 18 months, Starbucks has waged the most aggressive and illegal union busting campaign in the modern history of our country.
Starbucks Coffee Company unequivocally, and let me set the tone for this very early on, has not broken the law.
Employees have now voted to unionize at nearly 300 Starbucks stores. When we come back here tonight, the case against Alec Baldwin and the surprise turn tonight, the sudden move from the Santa Fe DA who charged him.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
There is news tonight in the case against Alec Baldwin. This evening, Santa Fe DA Mary Carmack Altway stepping down from the case. She's the one who charged Baldwin with involuntary manslaughter after the deadly shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. The case suffering a string of setbacks, including the dropping of a more serious charge. The DA tonight saying she's standing down to focus on other cases. Two local attorneys will now take over. When we come back here, dozens of swimmers facing possible federal charges for harassing the dolphins. And Diane Sawyer with actor Jeremy Renner after the snowplow accident. His first interview in a moment. To the index of other news, and tonight, dozens of swimmers are now facing possible federal charges for harassing a pod of dolphins off Hawaii. 33 swimmers allegedly surrounding and corralling the dolphins in Honolulu Bay. It's against federal law to swim within 50 yards of spinner dolphins in Hawaiian waters. When we come back here, Diane with actor Jeremy Renner. His first interview after that awful snowplow accident. And what he reveals here.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Finally tonight here, the Diane Sawyer exclusive, the first interview with actor Jeremy Renner. sitting across from Diane in his wheelchair after the snowplow accident that nearly took his life. As Diane now works on her special, tonight here a first look. Renner revealing the extent of his injuries, telling Diane he chose to survive.
Do you remember the pain?
Oh, all of it. Yeah, I was awake through every moment. I'd do it again.
You'd do it again?
Yeah, I'd do it again. Because it was going right at my nephew.
You have a video which is haunting. It's January 1st at 8:42 in the morning, 13 minutes away.
Someone's been run over by a snowcat. Hurry. He's been crushed.
There's a lot of blood over here. He is in rough shape.
Oh.
Keep breathing, man. Keep fighting. Hang in there, brother.
Oh. 8 ribs broken in 14 places. Yeah. Right knee, right ankle broken, left leg tibia broken, the left ankle broken, right clavicle broken, right shoulder broken, face eye socket, the jaw, the mandible broken, lung collapsed, pierced from the rib bone, your liver, which sounds terrifying.
Yeah. And they're like, what's my body look like? Am I just going to be like a spine and a brain, like a science experiment?
I heard that you had, in sign language, you said to your family, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. I chose to survive. He's not going to kill me. No way.
Do you dream of doing those stunts again?
I've lost a lot of flesh and bone in this experience, but I've been refueled and refilled with love and titanium.
You look in the mirror, and do you see the same face?
No, I see a lucky man.
Said he was saving his nephew, would do it again. Jeremy Renner, the Diane Sawyer interview, next Thursday night, April 6th, 10 p.m., right here on ABC. Good night.